We're up to the Holy Letters of the Rebbe, and we're doing volume 4, and we're up to letter number 1067. So we're up to 1067 in volume 4. This is dated the 27th day of Sivan, Baruch Hashem, the year Tav Shindal of Brooklyn, and peace and blessing. So the Rebbe writes, I received your letter. I also received your note, your Pidya Nefesh, that you to read for your son, Mr. Such and Such. They blanked out the name, Sheyichem Eilu. The Rebbe says, it's very difficult for me to read your note as is, as you wrote it. Because you write in the note that if it has been decreed upon you pains, God forbid, you're accepting it, you're accepting it. The Rebbe says it's self-understood, this is not the right language. You know, you don't write on the Rebbe to write that, you know, that you're accepting the pain. You have to ask the Rebbe not to have any pain, not to say that you accept yourself the pain. And it's not proper, the Rebbe says. So, because why? You start off the verse, the way Pidya Nefesh, the way the note starts, it's by saying, I am seeking to arouse great mercy. We're asking for great mercy. And if there is great mercy, they take away, they nullify all the pains, etc. And it isn't proper, or it's not worth it, to get into a detailed discussion about and to calculate to switch over and receiving through another person. I'm trying to figure out that maybe he was writing that if there's any pain, he accepts it upon himself instead of his son or something like that. Rebbe says that's not the right approach. So the Rebbe says, I'm going to read your note, but I'm going to skip these lines, and I hope, may it be the will of Hashem, that you should be able to very soon to let me know good news with your son, Mr. Soshirya, how his situation has improved, and even if there are, it's necessary that above nature, because naturally there's nothing you can do. But even if it's necessary for this beyond nature, but from Hashem, nothing is to stop Hashem. Who can say to God what he should do? Especially, the Rebbe says, that also, that there is also in the way of nature, that there is a rest already for some time. I think what the Rebbe is saying, I think he's in prison. I think that's what I think. For a while he's already, I guess his son was in prison. And then that there's been a ruling. So when the judgment is not a judgment, so then the ruling is not negate. But the main thing is, the Rebbe says, since that they're arousing great mercy, so you don't need no calculations over here. Hashem, let Hashem will figure it out. Not sure exactly. Again, I don't know the background over here. What exactly we're talking about? This that you write about moving to Brazil. And you're asking how you can get the proper papers, the paperwork. So as much as he says, as I know, they are very interested over there to have people that can do ritual slaughtering, shechtim ubeitkim, professionals, especially in the capital, Rio de Janeiro. So he says in the office of the refugee that we have in Paris, there must be the address of Rav Zingerovich, who's there. He is a wealthy merchant, but he also serves as the rabbi out of respect. I don't know, maybe because of... And it will be fitting to, the Rebbe says, to sort of speak to him. He'll sort of guide you and everything else. And the Rebbe is looking forward for good news, to hear good news from him. So I'm not sure exactly what is him hearing over there, that I'm not sure what this is talking about, but, you know, it brings to mind also, you know, this Shalom Rubashkin, you know, I mean, there was a whole big... And, you know, in the ways of nature, it doesn't seem like, you know, we have to see there's some miracle that he's going to, I mean, they put him away for 27 years.
Jonathan Pollard will be 30 years this November.
I think they said that they're releasing him now?
Yes.
They are.
Get released.
Yeah, but okay, yeah, he was, well, Jonathan Pollard, I mean, was a spy, was something else. Well, that was also anti-Semitism, no question. Now they're coming out with some of the top secrets that this Weinberger, Caspar Weinberger, who was at the time, you think, who knows what he said over there. It's just been, you know, a smokescreen for what they wanted to do. But in any event, but like this, we definitely should hope also that he would also be freed in a miraculous way. You know, he thinks there's somebody who's in prison for so many years, and really, at the end of the day, he got 27 years, and he's got entangled in you know, wasn't him. It just happened to him. You know, after you take everything away, everything that was done, you know, he was a person trying to run a business who didn't know, who wasn't trained to do a business, but he was trying to run a business that he wasn't trained, The unfortunate reality is that some of these young people or people go into business who don't really have the proper training and the proper, maybe even the proper respect for the law, because, you know, that's not what they've been, you know, in their enclave, you know, where they grew up, didn't apply to them. The law of the Torah applied, and they disregarded the Lord, and then all of a sudden they find out, you get caught up over your head, and you know, it's like, I think in a lot of cases we don't know why it happened, but there's so many people that get away with so many different things because they didn't get caught, you know. So a lot of people get away with a lot of different things. Some people seem to...
Madoff got caught.
By chance, sort of, almost, because the economy turned bad.
Right.
But you know how many Madoffs there are there that have not gotten caught.
But with Rubashkin, there was sort of a Ponzi scheme with the bank.
He as a last ditch effort to try to save what they were trying to destroy, but you jumped on, you know, that's what happens, you know. I know. The last ditch effort, you're desperate.
Yeah.
So you hang on a string, so you do something further illegal, and that's when they jump on you, and you know, you can't. And you know, it's most ordinary people who have small businesses or small families or small things to deal with, they're not under such pressure. But people who are have more to deal with outside have a lot of different pressures to make it work. Like if there's people, you know, you have employees, right, and they need their check, and you have to give them their... So they don't want to know. Now, even if you don't happen to have money in the bank, we talked about it, to pay the taxes for the employment, and you have a worker over there who wants his check, he put in the work, and you can't tell him no, because you know he worked, you know his family is counting on it, and you have the money in the bank, so you give him his check. And then you don't have the money to pay the taxes, and then it piles up, and then you go with the penalties. So there is, people are under a lot of pressure because in the way their position is, so they do certain things. Not excusing anybody, but I'm just saying the reality is that it becomes very, very difficult not to, to try to do something which is later on wrong. And then you end up sometimes Sometimes you end up paying the price for it.
No, I'm saying is, you may think that not that many people get caught. Yeah. You only hear about the big ones.